A Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation by St. Thomas More. Book 1, Chapter 9. Vincent. Verily, mine uncle, this first kind of tribulation have you, to my mind, opened sufficiently. And therefore, I pray you, resort now to the second. Anthony.
The second kind, you know, was of such tribulation as is so sent us by God that we know no certain cause deserving that present trouble, as we certainly know that upon such and such a surfeit we fell in such and such a sickness, or as the thief knoweth that for a certain theft he is fallen into a certain punishment. But yet, since we seldom lack faults against God, worthy and well-deserving of great punishment, indeed we may well think, and wisdom it is to do so, that with sin we have deserved it, and that God, for some sin, sendeth it, though we know not certainly for which. And therefore, thus far, is this kind of tribulation, somewhat, in effect, to be taken alike unto the other. For you see, if we thus will take it, reckoning it to be sent for sin, and suffering it meekly therefore, it is medicinable against the pain of the other world to come for our past sins in this world. And this is, as I have showed you, a cause of right great comfort. But yet may then this kind of tribulation be, to some men of more sober living, and thereby of more clear conscience, somewhat a little more comfortable. They may none otherwise reckon themselves than sinners, for as St. Paul saith, My conscience grudgeth me not of anything, but yet am I not thereby justified. And as St. John saith, If we say that we have no sin in us, we beguile ourselves, and truth is there not in us. Yet, forasmuch as the cause is to them not so certain as it is to the others aforementioned in the first kind, and forasmuch as it is also certain that God sometimes sendeth tribulation to keep and preserve a man from such sin as he would otherwise fall in, and sometimes also for exercise of their patience and increase of merit, great cause of increase in comfort have those folk of the clearer conscience in the fervor of their tribulation. For they may take the comfort of a double medicine, and also of that thing that is of the kind that we shall finally speak of, that I call better than medicinable. But, as I have before spoken of this kind of tribulation, how it is medicinable, in that it cureth the sin past, and purchaseth remission of the pain due for it. So let us somewhat consider how this tribulation sent us by God is medicinable, in that it preserveth us from the sins into which we would otherwise be like to fall. If that thing be a good medicine that restoreth us our health when we lose it, as good a medicine must this one be, that preserveth our health while we have it, and suffereth us not to fall into that painful sickness that must afterwards drive us to a painful remedy. Now, God seeth sometimes that worldly wealth is coming so fast upon some one who nevertheless is good, that, foreseeing how much weight of worldly wealth the man may bear, and how much will overcharge him, and enhance his heart up so high that grace should fall from him, God of his goodness, I say, doth anticipate his fall, and sendeth him tribulation betimes while he is yet good. And this he doth to make him know his Maker, and, by less liking the false flattering world, to set a cross upon the ship of his heart, and bear a low sail thereon, so that the boisterous blast of pride blow him not under the water. some lovely young lady, lo, who is yet good enough. God seeth a storm come toward her that would, if her health and fat feeding should last a little longer, strike her into some lecherous love, and instead of her old acquainted knight, lay her abed with a new acquainted knave. But God, loving her more tenderly than to suffer her to fall into such shameful beastly sin, sendeth her in season a goodly fair fervent fever, that maketh her bones to rattle, and wasteth away her wanton flesh. And it beautifieth her fair skin with the colour of a kite's claw, and maketh her look so lovely that her love would have little pleasure to look upon her. And it maketh her also so lusty, that if her lover lay in her lap, she should so sore long to throw up unto him the very bottom of her stomach, that she should not be able to restrain it from him, but suddenly lay it all in his neck. Did not, as I before told you, the blessed apostle himself confess that the high revelations that God had given him might have enhanced him into so high a pride that he might have caught a foul fall, had not the provident goodness of God provided for his remedy? And what was his remedy but a painful tribulation, so sore that he was fain thrice to call to God to take the tribulation from him? And yet, would not God grant his request, but let him lie therein till he himself, who saw more in St. Paul than St. Paul saw in himself, knew well the time was come in which he might well, without his harm, take it from him? And thus you see, good cousin, that tribulation is double medicine, both a cure of the sin past and a preservative from the sin that is to come. And therefore, in this kind of tribulation, is there good occasion for a double comfort. But that is, I say, diversely to sundry diverse folk, as their own conscience is cumbered with sin, or clear. Howbeit, I will advise no man to be so bold as to think that his tribulation is sent him to keep him from the pride of his holiness. Let men leave that kind of comfort hardly to St. Paul, till their living be like his. But of the rest, men may well take great comfort, and good besides. Chapter 10 The third kind of tribulation, uncle, remaineth now. That is, that which is sent a man by God, and not for his sin either committed, or which otherwise would come, and therefore is not medicinable, but is sent for exercise of our patience and increase of our merit, and therefore better than medicinable. Though it be, as you say, and as indeed it is, better for the man than any of the other two kinds, in another world, where the reward shall be received, yet I cannot see by what reason a man can, in this world, where the tribulation is suffered, take any more comfort in it than in any of the other twain that are sent him for his sin. For he cannot here know whether it be sent him for sin before committed, or for sin that otherwise should befall, or for increase of merit and reward after to come. For every man hath cause enough to fear and think that his sin already past hath deserved it, and that it is not without peril for a man to think otherwise.
This that you say, cousin, hath place of truth in far the most part of men, and therefore must they not envy nor disdain, since they may take in their tribulation sufficient consolation for their part, that some other, who is more worthy, may take yet a great deal more. For as I told you, cousin, though the best must confess himself a sinner, yet there are many men, though to the multitude few, who for the kind of their living and the clearness of their conscience may well and without sin have a good hope that God sendeth them some great grief for the exercise of their patience and for increase of their merit. This appeareth not only by St. Paul in the place before remembered, but also by the holy man Job, who in sundry places of his disputations with his burdensome comforters forbore not to say that the clearness of his own conscience declared and showed to himself that he deserved not that sore tribulation which then he had. Howbeit, as I told you before, I will not advise every man at adventure to be bold upon this manner of comfort. But yet know I some men such that I would dare, for their more ease and comfort in their great and grievous pains, to put them in right good hope that God sendeth it them, not so much for their punishment as for exercise of their patience. And some tribulations are there also that grow upon such causes that in those cases I would never forbear, but always would, without any doubt, give that counsel and comfort to any man.
What causes, good uncle, are those?
Marry, cousin, wheresoever a man falleth in tribulation for the maintenance of justice, or for the defence of God's cause. For if I should happen to find a man who had long lived a very virtuous life, and had at last happened to fall into the Turk's hands, and if he there did abide by the truth of his faith, and with the suffering of all kinds of torments taken upon his body, still did teach and testify the truth, and if I should, in his passion, give him spiritual comfort, might I be bold to tell him no further, but that he should take patience in his pain, and that God sendeth it to him for his sin, and that he is well worthy to have it, though it were yet much more? He might then well answer me, and other such comforters, as Job answered his. Burdensome and heavy comforters be you. Nay, I would not fail to bid him boldly, while I should see him in his passion, to cast sin and hell and purgatory and all upon the devil's pate, and doubt not but, as if he gave over his hold, all his merit would be lost, and he would be turned to misery. So if he stand and persevere still in the confession of his faith, all his whole pain shall turn all into glory. Yea, more shall I yet say than this. If there were a Christian man who had among those infidels committed a very deadly crime, such as would be worthy of death, not only by their laws, but by Christ too, as manslaughter or adultery or other such thing, and if, when he were taken, he were offered pardon of his life upon condition that he should forsake the faith of Christ, and if this man would now rather suffer death than so do, should I comfort him in his pain only as I would a malefactor? Nay, this man, though he would have died for his sin, dieth now for Christ's sake, since he might live still if he would forsake him. The bare patient taking of his death would have served for the satisfaction of his sin, through the merit of Christ's passion, I mean, without help of which no pain of our own could be satisfactory. But now shall Christ, for his forsaking of his own life in the honour of his faith, forgive the pain of all his sins, of his mere liberality, and accept all the pain of his death for merit of reward in heaven, and shall assign no part of it to the payment of his debt in purgatory, but shall take it all as an offering, and requited all with glory. And this man, among Christian men, although he had been before a devil, nothing would I doubt afterward to take him for a martyr.
Verily, good uncle, methinketh this is said marvelous well. And it specially delighteth and comforteth me to hear it, because of our principal fear that I first spoke of, the Turks' cruel incursion into this country of ours.
Cousin, as for the matter of that fear, I purpose to touch it last of all. Nor meant I here to speak of it, had it not been that the vehemency of your objection brought it in my way. But otherwise I would rather have put instead some example of those who suffer tribulation for maintenance of right and justice, and choose rather to take harm than to do wrong in any manner of matter. For surely, if a man may, as indeed he may, have great comfort in the clearness of his conscience, who hath a false crime put upon him, and by false witness proved upon him, and who is falsely punished and put to worldly shame and pain for it, 100 times more comfort may he have in his heart, who, where white is called black and right is called wrong, abideth by the truth, and is persecuted for justice.
Then, if a man sue me wrongfully for my own land, in which I myself have good right, it is a comfort yet to defend it well, since God shall give me thanks for it?
Nay, cousin, nay, there walk you somewhat wide, for there you defend your own right for your own temporal avail. But St. Paul counseleth, defend not yourselves, my more dear friends. And our Saviour counseleth, if a man will strive at thee at the law and take away thy coat, leave him thy gown too. The defence, therefore, of our own right asketh no reward. Say you speed well if you get leave. Look hardly for no thanks. But, on the other hand, if you do as St. Paul biddeth, seek not for your own profit, but for other folks, and defend therefore of pity a poor widow or a poor fatherless child, and rather suffer sorrow by some strong extortioner than suffer them to take wrong. Or if you be a judge and have such zeal to justice that you will abide tribulation by the malice of some mighty man rather than judge wrong for his favor, such tribulations, though, are those that are better than only medicinable, and every man upon whom they fall may be bold so to reckon them, and in his deep trouble may well say to himself the words that Christ hath taught him for his comfort. Blessed be the merciful men, for they shall have mercy given them. Blessed be they that suffer persecution for justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here is a high comfort, lo, for those that are in this case. And their own conscience can show it to them, and can fill their hearts so full with spiritual joy that the pleasure may far surmount the heaviness and grief of all their temporal trouble. But God's nearer cause of faith against the Turks hath yet a far surpassing comfort that by many degrees far excelleth this. And that, as I have said, I purpose to treat last. And for this time this sufficeth concerning the special comfort that men may take in this third kind of tribulation.
Chapter 11. Of truth, good uncle, albeit that every one of these kinds of tribulations have cause of comfort in them, as you have well declared, if men will so consider them, yet hath this third kind, above all, a special prerogative therein.
That is undoubtedly true. But yet even the most base kind of them all, good cousin, hath more causes of comfort than I have spoken of yet. For I have, you know, in that kind that is sent us for our sin, spoken of no other comfort yet but twain. One, that it refraineth us from sin that otherwise we would fall in, and one, that it serveth us through the merit of Christ's passion, as a means by which God keepeth us from hell, and serveth for the satisfaction of such pain as we would otherwise endure in purgatory. Howbeit, there is therein another great cause of joy besides this. For surely those pains here sent us for our sin, in whatsoever wise they happen to us, be our sin never so sore, nor never so open and evident unto ourselves, and all the world too, yet if we pray for grace to take them meekly and patiently, and if confessing to God that it is far too little for our fault, we beseech him nevertheless, since we shall come hence so void of all good works for which we should have any reward in heaven, to be not only so merciful to us as to take our present tribulation in relief of our pains in purgatory, but also so gracious unto us as to take our patience therein for a matter of merit and reward in heaven. I verily trust, and nothing doubt it, that God shall of his high bounty grant us our boon. For, as in hell pain serveth only for punishment, without any manner of purging, because all possibility of purging is past, and as in purgatory punishment serveth only for purging, because the place of deserving is past, so while we are yet in this world, in which is our place and our time of merit and well-deserving, the tribulation that is sent us for our sin here shall, if we faithfully so desire, beside the cleansing and purging of our pain, serve us also for increase of reward. And so shall, I suppose and trust in God's goodness, all such penance and good works as a man willingly performeth, enjoined by his ghostly father in confession, or which he willingly further doth of his own devotion beside. For though man's penance, with all the good works that he can do, be not able to satisfy of themselves for the least sin that we do, yet the liberal goodness of God, through the merit of Christ's bitter passion, without which all our works could never satisfy so much as a spoonful to a great vesselful, in comparison with the merit and satisfaction that Christ has merited and satisfied for us himself. This liberal goodness of God, I say, shall yet, at our faithful instance and request, cause our penance and tribulation, patiently taken in this world, to serve us in the other world, both for release and reward, tempered after such rate as his high goodness and wisdom shall see best for us, whereof our blind mortality cannot here imagine nor devise the stint. And thus hath yet even the first and most base kind of tribulation, though not fully so great as the second, and very far less than the third, far greater cause of comfort yet than I spoke of before. End of chapter 11.